79.
Well, could we start on what you went into the army? Was that your first? Did you go straight into the army after you first left school?
Oh no! I was a farmer's boy until I went to the army.
Whereabouts was this?
I've been just outside Sleaford, as a matter of fact, a place called Braunschweig. But I've worked on various farms along this between here and Sleaford.
I
went in the army in 1917. Came out in 1920. I served overseas. How was it?
In
Ypres most of my time.
In
Ypres. I know, I can say like the back of the hand.
Yes.
And anyhow, when I came out, I was unemployed. I thought I would go back to the land, but no one would employ me because of my young activities. I had various jobs. I think I had 9 jobs in about 8 weeks, and I was unemployed most of the time. That's just simply see my union badge and out.
So you were involved in the union when you were working on the land?
Oh yes, I was George Deer. Every celebrated George Deer. He was one of the Transport and General Workers, one of the workers' union officials.
Mm-hmm.
He was a councillor for Lincoln. Now I was his first recruit on the land. Oh. I lived 5 miles out of Sleaford, and I used to cycle there. For branch meetings at the Black Lion. And anyway, I was so notorious that I couldn't get employment. But my brother lived near Nottingham. Knew there was a vacancy, heard of a vacancy. His sister-in-law, anyhow, was a nurse there. There was a vacancy at Ratcliffe, and I got it. I was a super fair haired boy. He had great hopes of me. And everything was going rosy until they gave us a notice that we lose 4 bob a week and work another day a fortnight. He said 2 days off a week, 3 days off a fortnight. If I like, I'll deal with it now on that one. But what happened, you see, we're on a 60-hour week, inclusive of meals. Mm. Well, meals were pretty generous, as a matter of fact, many times were pretty generous, but how they got over it, you see, 5 days a week from 6:30 in the morning, when we assembled for breakfast, till 7:30 at night, 13 hours, 5 13 to 65. Well, they got over that by saying, "Oh, you don't start work till 7," but that didn't include them. But anyway, we were content enough with that until they said we'd have to work this extra day a fortnight and suffer 4 shillings a week reduction for the males and 3 and 4, I don't think it was for the females. They were all about 10% below ours. Well, we agreed that we would accept the reduction in pay, but not in hours.
Mm.
So they adjourned the decision for the next committee meeting.
Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Herbert, but could you not rustle that because it'll get in the way of the mic.
Right.
Sorry to interrupt. I shall interrupt you again.
No, it's okay.
So you were saying you would accept the reduction?
That is so.
Yes.
Well, they were prepared to consider that for a time. But there was also the question of a non-unionist on the female side. The matron, contrary to the agreement we had, put her on nights.
Why didn't you want her to go on nights?
I don't recall that.
Mm.
But I wasn't the secretary, you see, at the time.
Oh, I see.
I wasn't the secretary. Well, the girl struck. Said, "Wouldn't do it." And they rang up the Grand Secretary, a chap called Mason. I show him sometime in there. And we struck then.
In sympathy with
the... Yeah, in sympathy with the girls. And we refused to go off duty. We sat up all night in the world. We wouldn't let the night staff come on. We just... Well, that forced the issue. There's a meeting in the recreation hall while it was addressed by the super and all this happened then. So we agreed then to carry on to work and the committee would deal with it. But there was trying to recall the sequence of events. Oh, yes, they decided then they were going to make a show of us. Well, they forbade us to have the union meetings in the hospital, unless the clerk of the committee was there, a chap called Gell.
Oh, the visiting committee?
Yes. We refused, and we had a meeting in the Black Lion at Radcliffe. When we came in, they were there to, the officials were there to meet and check us all in. And the branch secretary, see, we was to have to put a pass in to sleep out for days off. We were having 2 days off together, of course. One of the nights was that particular night. Mason hadn't, it had sort of fallen into disuse, you know. We didn't always put a pass in. But Mason hadn't put a pass in. And they seized on that fact. Brought him up before the super next morning and suspended him. But that threw the whole matter into disarray. And the thing looked like collapsing. Well, so that outraged me that he should be made a victim. He should be victimised. I said, "Right, I'll take it on." And then we set to and had a really good talk to them about it. Said what was going to do and what we went. And the outcome was that some incident arose on the female side, and the girls demanded action. Well, we got Gibson and Shaw came down. We had a meeting in the Black Lion, and they'd already made their plans beforehand. They said to me, "We're having separate meetings for the girls and for the men." The men had their meeting in the billiard room, and in the special room in the pub, they had the girls. Now I was in the corridor to see that there weren't no disturbance. When we got in the bus to take us back to the hospital, one of the girls said to me, "They've been told to keep it secret." She said to me, "We're going to strike tomorrow." And of course I kept that secret. The next morning the matron came to look down her flop. Everyone was on strike, including the laundry and the kitchen. The male staff was so surprised, they were as much surprised as the officials, you know. It was my day off. And they just besieged me, amended. They weren't going to have the girls strike, and they weren't. And Shaw met us that evening, and I arranged a meeting in a nearby lane. And Shaw met us, and he said he apologised for the absence of the ladies who were fighting the men's battle, you know. He was a pretty good rabble-rouser. And the upshot was that most of us, well, in fact, we all decided to strike. But due to some reason or other, one or two funked, the men funked, and that led to this all.
Some of them...
Well, you see, there were a lot of those were married men, and they couldn't afford to. They couldn't afford to strike. Well, if there was any defections at all, you see, they were the first to follow them.
Were they living in hospital houses?
They were living in hospital houses, and their families. And it was a pretty difficult decision.
Why do you think the women were more militant than the men?
I don't know.
Did you know at the time that...
No, as a matter of fact, when they weren't all unionists, you know. Oh. But at the time when I took over, one of the girls in the kitchen said that she would do some recruiting for me. Mm. And she before dinner, she'd got me 20 new members.
Really?
I didn't know. It was rather a funny happening, you know. At a meeting, for the first meeting, you know, it was decided that the people who were off duty, that someone should meet them at Ratcliffe Station and tell the girls what was happening. And it was suggested I go. Says, no good me going, I don't know any of them. And old Winslow, who was president at the time, said, how long have you been here? I said, a bit over 12 months. So you don't know any of the girls? He said, it's the first hospital I've been in where anyone didn't know the girls. Anyway, we got all of them except five. Well, we were all locked in. We locked in. The girls had been in a day when we locked in. The committee then decided to break down the locks. And you'll find a reference in there to the fire hoses. The superintendent came to argue with us at the window of one of the wards, and a patient, a miner, he picked up the branch, nozzle on those huge ones of brass things, and was going to take it off. So I said, let me have a jack. And I took it and gave him a nod, and he spun the wheel, you know, and was to turn the fire hose on the super. They promptly turned the water off at the main. And all my good work as I've been done as a nurse, all I'm known as is a chap who turned the fire hose on the branch on the medical super. Anyway, after a battle, they smashed down the doors. It was they posted, and the night that the men were on strike, they posted 67 uniformed policemen around that building. Next morning they had a committee meeting. We had notices of dismissal for insubordination. That's another thing I destroyed incidentally. The kitchen had been supplying us with food, the patients and the strikers, but they wouldn't supply the non-strikers and all the officials. And at 1 o'clock, they began their attack. The kitchen girls and the laundry girls retreated into the wards, and there was the police guarding the outside, and the bailiffs and plainclothes police and the artisan staff on the inside.
The craftsmen, you mean?
The craftsmen didn't support the strike, no. Oh,
why not?
I don't know. It was a purely nursing one, so they weren't affected.
Their wages weren't being cut?
No.
Were they members of the union or not?
They had been, but they'd sort of fallen. They were just, tailors, masons and all those people. Now, they were armed with hammers and crowbars.
So the artisans were actually helping the...
Yes, they came to do the locks and such like.
Oh.
But anyway, they called on us to surrender. We replied suitably, and...
can you remember what you said?
I think we told them to come and get us, as far as I remember, but of course that's how it wasn't printable. Yeah. And we jammed the locks with homemade keys. Mm-hmm. One of our chaps who came from the lower part of Nottingham, Snenton, I think it was, which was really the stomach, he knew most of the people, and he got a chappy who did that sort of thing to cut some keys. And they weren't, these keys weren't finished, but they were not sufficient to jam a lock. And we put our own keys in the outer door of the ward and tied them. My key was in the one next to the corridor. Well, they smashed down that door. And as we retreated, we jammed keys in the home cut keys, we jammed them in the locks so they had to keep knocking down doors. I remember that I had a number of them on my, and when I got to the last door, I dropped them down a ventilator. And you know, those keys were found during the Second World War, when they were doing something, you know, for air raid precautions and stuff like, they found these keys. They lay there, about 20 years, I suppose. And, anyway, when he got to me, he said, the police inspector said, "Where's your keys?" I said, "In the door you knocked down." He said, "Search him." And I was amazed. Their attendant was there. He said, "If officer says he hasn't any keys, he hasn't any." And they didn't search me.
Well, the head attendant came in with the police.
Yes, he was chief mayor. So, nice. So well, that was the end of it. We were escorted. There was a battle, of course. Patient, particularly on the female side, the patients were all sympathetic to us. And on the female side, they fought the police. One man had his hand bit. One patient, his hand was bitten. Mm. When the chap put his hand, the policeman put his hand on the girl, on the nurse, patient went for him. Mm. I'll show you the girl's photograph in there. They barricaded the ward doors in one ward, but the stupid creatures, they'd put a table and then piled the stuff on it. Instead of putting the table flat, they knocked in the panel of the door, and the policeman came, a plainclothes chappy, crept through, and he was coming from under the table, just got his head nicely in a good position. Louis Burley, the charge nurse, she weighed about 14 stone, and she gave him an uppercut. And by remarkable timing, she knocked him out. And he fell flat. And Louis thought she'd killed him. But he was, you know, a boxer's KO. Well, Louis fainted and fell on him. And the patient rolled her over, and the chap was able to get up. But there were various incidents. They smashed windows, the patients tore the legs off chairs and attacked. In some of the wards there was no glass left at all in the windows. So all the female wards were held. We only held three of the six male wards. Mm. You see, we hadn't staff enough to been on the ground floor, so we hadn't staff enough to man them. So we'd only 16. We'd only, well, we're 22, but some of those were off duty. And so the eventually the battle ended sometime about 5 o'clock, and they bundled us out. And when we got on the road, they came to me and asked me if I wanted any police protection. I said, why? I said, you've lost. I said, you know, I thought, don't want some protection from the members.
But you didn't?
I didn't, oh no. And we all went down, had a meeting at the Black Lion, and then dispersed. Oh. But
they threw all your belongings out with you, didn't they?
Oh yes, they threw out everything. And it was the day before Good Friday. I slept at one of the houses that night. I lived in Netherfield, just outside Nottingham, with my brother at that time, but I stayed with the rest. And a funny thing happened too. After Comer took on as national organiser, you know about Comer?
Yes, Chris Comer. Yeah.
He said to me at the first conference, he said that when he went to Manchester at the office, Herbert Shaw said to him, handed him a bunch of keys. He said, these are the keys to the female side of Radcliffe Hospital. we'd supplied him with some. Mm-hmm. But they had to change all the locks of that hospital. So many keys that were lost, and then they had risky, you see.
So, yes, where did most of the staff around the hospital come from? Did they live locally or did they come from Nottingham?
Some came from Nottingham, some from the south of Ireland, and they were spread through Scottish, but all sorts.
What, this would be on both sides, the women as well?
Well, the women. It was the women that came from there. The men, a lot of the men were local.
Oh,
some were ex-miners.
And who'd left because of the problems of the strikes?
Oh, yes. I can tell you a story of those strikes, too.
Please do.
Well, it's nothing to do with the Radcliffe strike.
Well, but it's about the people in the locality, isn't it?
So. Oh, yes. Oh, in the 1921 coal strike. It was at the time, I think that was the time of the Triple Alliance. The railway men and the transport people, Roberts' transport people, they drew out and left the miners to fight then. And I lived near Gedling, Codbury, another field near Gedling. The distress was terrible there. And my brother and I and various people, we decided to give the kids something to eat. And I think it was some chapel or other, who had a building where they had a copper in it for their various activities, you know, teas and stuff like that. And we used to scour the surrounding districts from the shopkeepers and beg stuff to make soup for them. We gave these poor little creatures a pint of soup each day. We got, well, the traders around there were pretty favourable to the miners because they were their customers, of course. But we managed to give those children a pint of soup each day for weeks.
Do you think the fact that it was a mining area and made a difference?
No, Radcliffe isn't really a mining.
It isn't, no?
No, it's the other side of the Trent, Radcliffe is,
oh,
you
I
know.
Yeah.
No, Colwick, Radcliffe, Collins, and those places, they're on the agricultural side. The mining side, of course, was Gedling, and there down towards Mansfield.
Because I mean, there was at that time there were a lot of wage cuts. I mean, Radcliffe.
Oh yes.
A lot of them didn't even fight against them.
Didn't. No, so they struck here, you know, but it was only a sporadic sort of thing, and they nothing.
What made Radcliffe different? Why did you decide to make a fight at Radcliffe? Right, and have you any ideas on that question?
Well, they was collapsing, you know, and Mason was sacked. Mm. That no one had to rally round, and anyhow, I said I wasn't having it. And George Higgs, one of the charge nurses, he was ex-miner, and he did a lot of recruiting.
So some of the ex-miners were very strong trade unionists?
Oh yes, some of them, yes. Oh, we had quite a good fight there. But you know, I had the job of picking up the bits and pieces. You see, I didn't start the strike. I'd went into it when it was collapsing, when Mason was sacked.
So it had been boiling for a long time, in other words?
Oh, yes, it had been, but they were more or less prepared to, at some of them, to accept. Well, they were. It was all confusion, anyway. I had no experience as an organiser. With hindsight, of course, I might have done differently, but the damage was done when I took over. There's nothing I could do in the way of negotiation. I mean, justify it. But if we'd taken it to the Mental Hospitals Association, the Joint Conciliation Committee, we could have perhaps made a better deal, because they're already in breach of the agreement, and the fact that we're working 65 hours when we should have been 60. I was out for, this was in April of 14th, wasn't it? Yes. I got a job at Rampton. I was full of union enthusiasm. I started to recruit there before I got put on the permanent staff. And one day the superintendent came round and said, "Oh, Hoff, you've not had your medical yet." I said, "No." He said, "Go on, we'll have it now." So I had my medical examination stood up in his office, and he said, "You're not strong enough for this job." So I was out again. And I was out then until the following March. I started in March 23.
Was this the blacklist?
Oh, there was a blacklist, yes. Oh, I had. There again, I sent on my rejections papers to head office. I don't know how long they kept them. But I had, dozens. Some of them quite insulting replies to my application. No.
Can you remember what some of them said? Or?
Oh, they just said they wanted no Radcliffe agitators here and that type of thing. And I came to Radcliffe. I came to Bracebridge in March. And I'd continued my membership during my unemployment. During my unemployment period, even unemployment, but not even, I joined the National Unemployed Workers Committee movement. Wal Annington, the communist, was our organiser. And our leader was a chap called Sid Winder. I was his deputy. And it was a time when the marches to London were being arranged. I purchased an army haversack and water bottles, was like, and going on this march. And incidentally, I gave away the haversack only a few weeks ago to my grandson. And anyway, the day it was to start, it was the day that I started here. And instead of coming straight here, I went to Nottingham, just saw the lads and got on the train and came here. I was, I'd 6 bob on me when I started, when I got to Lincoln. I paid 5 bob for a taxi. I had a bob then.
Do you know why they decided to take you on here when you were blacklisted?
I don't know. The superintendent at Radcliffe and the superintendent here had both been at Coney Hatch together, and I don't think there was any love lost between them. Mm-hmm. It probably influenced them.
Oh, that's interesting. What kind of man was the medical superintendent at the Radcliffe?
Well, he wasn't bad. He wasn't too bad. It was a committee that was pushing him. Jell was the man who was pushing it. As a matter of fact, this chap, he was never the same man after. He lost a certificate of staff. On the female staff, which isn't usually highly qualified due to the turnover, you know, of staff. It was very frequent in those days. He said, "You left me with no staff." There was only 5 staff left on the female side. They had all sorts of people brought in. And you've seen the ragged lot that came in on the male side. They were the dregs.
What kind of, I mean, do you know?
Broken down school teachers and that sort of thing, you know.
Yes.
But.
Well, none of them were qualified nurses, were they?
Not that I'm aware of, no. And on the female side, of course, they had officials' wives. And these 5 nurses they had, well, they managed to get a few ex-nurses to come back. But there was a long time before they really got a settled staff. When I came here, I was still a member of the union. And after 3 years I'd been here, after 6 years, I've been here 6 years, the branch secretary got promoted, I took over. I was back in business again. My first meeting as branch secretary, we decided on some improvements. We got hours reduced from 60 to 54. We got 12 extra on the married staff. Room rent reduced for the resident staff. I think that was my first package. We were the first people, Lincoln was the first people to start the reduction of hours after all that had been imposed on us years before.
Can you remember what time this would be by now?
This was in December 1929, Lincoln always led.
Did it?
Oh, yes, and among the rurals. Rossby, the neighbouring one, used to simply say when the committee would say, "What's Lincoln done?"
It was a leading branch in the mental hospital in the conciliation.
Oh, yeah, I had a branch of 200 members at that time. I worked it up to 200 members. We were the first people to get the thirds recognised as a rank.
The thirds?
The third in the, yes. You see, the charge nurse, second charge, and the senior staff nurse was graded as third and got nothing. No extra pay. And they didn't in any hospitals. And we decided that on an increase for the 2 upper ranks, and the third should be paid. We were first guy. We led on most of those sort of things.
What was, going back to when you first started as a probationer, I mean, what did you find it very hard work compared to working on the land, or I mean, what were your first impressions of it?
Well, Radcliffe was a nice hospital at that time. Yes, And it wasn't hard work. It was working on the land, of course. And the facilities for study were good. The old man allowed me to change my days so that I could attend them at Nottingham for the St. John's Ambulance. And when I was sacked from doing the strike, I was due to sit for my preliminary of our MPA, MPA as we call it, and also for the St. John's Ambulance thing. I had to sacrifice those.
There's been a bit of furore about the so-called role of the national officials in the dispute. There was the suggestion that they were at the race course on that day.
That is so. They were not there. What happened? They were in the lane watching the strike. They had, we were communicating them with semaphore, you know. One of our chaps had been their signaler in an hour. and they were there, but they'd brought the union solicitor with them. Well, the Daily News said, came out that having set the pickets, the union official adjourned to the race course. That was at Colwick. And it happened to be a race meeting that day. What had happened was that the union solicitor had gone to the races. Uh-huh. See, he wasn't a member of the union, he was just their advisor. And Daily News had to publish an apology, and awarded nominal, and they accepted nominal damages.
Did the national officials try to intervene to prevent the strike taking place beforehand, or
No.
Did it happen too fast? Or?
Oh, it happened. It happened too fast. We called the strike, of course, of the girls when they went. Mm. The second time they struck, you see. The first one had been spontaneous. But, no, there was no question at all that they were behind us.
They were
behind us, yes. Yeah. They gave £100 each to the marriage staff, and they gave 30 shillings to the, I think they gave it male and female, I don't know where, I think anyhow, 30 shillings a week to the single staff. I was on 30 shillings from April to, I think, December. They reinstated me on the strike list even after I'd been at Rampton. Mm. Yes. And then it dropped to 25 shillings, then to £1, and I was on £1 a week when I came to here. In the meantime, I'd been, of course, registered and unemployed. I'd getting 15 bob. I well remember going when my unemployment benefit had run out. I was before a tribunal, and there was one very kindly lady there, and she was a bit concerned about my moral welfare. She said, "You know, Hoff," she said, "you must try to get the habit of work." She said, "Once you were a soldier," she said, "you'd not always wanted something for nothing." She said, "Try to recapture the spirit of the trenches." Anyway, they awarded me 60 days extension of my plan, and it ran out, by coincidence, it ran out the time when I came here.
Do you know what happened to other people that were involved in the strike? Did they... How quickly did they get jobs?
Oh, some of them were quite a long time. Mm. Yes, some joined the army, as a matter of fact. Some of the youngsters joined the army, yes.
What about the women? What did they do? Do you know?
Well, two of them, the lady who laid out someone and her friend, they got work again, I think. Oh, I can't remember whether it was Banstead or not. But they went somewhere down there. And one went to Narborough, Leicester. But the girls didn't have so much difficulty as the men, of course.
The committee were connected to what, the council? The committee of the council. Was it a Labour council or a Tory council?
I was a Tory at that time. You see, it was a county council. See, that was under the city council at Mappley. They were on a 48-hour week.
Were they?
Oh, yes.
So it was the city council was paying...
Oh, yes.
...treating people much better.
Oh, indeed, yes.
And it would be a rural asylum, then?
Radcliffe? Oh, yes, it was for the county.
Their wages and conditions were generally worse, weren't they, than
Yes. When I came here, my pay was 43 and sixpence for a 60-hour week, out of which I had 3% superannuation contributions, national health insurance, unemployment insurance.
And this was an urban one, was it?
This was a
rural one, but it was there was that gap between
them. Oh, yes. And I had six bob deduction for room and laundry. Mm. And the room was a cubicle, 9x7. Mm. The laundry, that's another thing. I used to have a laundry book, and it showed just what we were allowed for laundry. A week, one shirt, one towel, no bath towel. This was what we were supposed to send to have, one sheet, one pillowcase, and one or two articles of personal wear. But what they left out, if we hadn't one, we should have been pinched for indecency.
When did you first start going to Union Conference?
The Yarmouth. 1930 was it.
What are your impressions of what it was like at conference in those days?
Well, our conferences were a pretty high level, you know. Mm. I think Bartlett was the president at the time. So I was pleased to go because it was my first conference after being after leaving Radcliffe. I remember meeting Herbert Shaw there.
So you were a bit of a hero when you got there, weren't you?
Well, not say hero, but it excited a bit of interest, and especially in view of the achievements we'd had, in the reducing of hours and such like. We were held up as being getting a move on.
But you stayed, you were a staff nurse by this time, were you? Or
I was a staff nurse when I became branch secretary.
Did you ever have any ambitions to rise in the union at all? Or
no.
You didn't want to do that?
At the Landrum, I think it was Landrum, when Comer got made national office, he'd been in office for some time, and they were making a second one. And he said to me at the conference, the Bridlington conference, I think. He said to me, Gibson said, told me to put in for it. Mm. But I had a wife and children, and I wasn't prepared to risk any. I thought if I don't make the grade, then I'm out on my neck again. I wouldn't risk it.
So what now, since you had so much trouble getting a job in the...
I meant sticking it.
Oh, I see.
But it didn't happen for me in doing union work here.
Mm. So it sounds as if they were quite a sympathetic committee and medical superintendent.
What, here?
Yes.
Oh, no.
They weren't?
They weren't, no. But I found that if you were prepared to do the job, they hesitate about tackling you. Mm. Oh, I was known as that off. Yeah.
Did it ever threaten to victimise you at all when you...
No.
I guess
they found me plenty of hard work to do. I didn't get any of the easy words.
You got hard work they gave you?
That was found me plenty to do, I suppose. At the same time, of course, I got interested in politics. I was the delegate to the Trades and Labour Council at Lincoln. We were affiliated to Lincoln, although we were in Grantham's division, but Grantham's a long way off.
Yeah. Was there any other members of your family involved in trade unionism or politics?
No.
So you were the first?
Well, my brother lived in Nottingham. He was, as a matter of fact, he was a member of the Communist Party.
Well, see.